It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor this week. Once again, I think I mentioned on last week's show, Daniel, that we were going to talk about a rock climber.
And we shall this week.
We're going to finally get to the story.
Yeah.
Last week's show, Unstuck and Stuck. That's, boy, what do you do when you're stuck on the side of a cliff, rock
well, that's
climbing?
A
we're
going to
find out
we
what
should
happens.
Go back and revisit last week, see how to get, well, you have to have that overall tapestry, don't you?
There you go. Well, hey, yeah, what are we talking about this week?
This is going to be an interesting show. I'm talking to young people who, referring back to our previous show, are stuck, and parents who are concerned with how to draw their stuck young people away from this addictive and self-absorbed young culture.
Yeah, somebody caught in an addiction, that is the definition in my mind of what being stuck is.
Yeah. And, of course, a lot of the dangerous things that kids are into now don't look like addictions. And they're, we've talked before about how schools are encouraging the use of, you know, cell phones to take pictures of the assignments instead of writing things down. And so, you know, education is just going, is just off the tracks.
No, I've done that at a church service. If there's some great notes up on the screen, I'll just take a cell phone shot of it instead of, I'm contributing to.
But when you're learning to learn, I think, you know, teachers should know that in writing an assignment down, you're going through another area of your brain, and it's helping to recall that to your memory.
Sure.
But anyway, in particular, the concern as we're coming into this holiday season is might be that winter school break, and how do we help our kids? How can we help our kids turn the corner? You know, these might be grade school kids. You know, good gosh, these addictive patterns are clear down into the early school. They're starting in you see these kids on with cell phones, and they're even in kindergarten.
You're talking
yet.
About addictions in general, but the addiction to the technology is getting to be more and more alarming to people, to parents.
So the winter school break and getting a foothold and getting started in this latter portion of the school year. During the school break, of course, all of these young people of every age are going to want to think of this time as an opportunity to just game and self-indulge to their heart's content. All the things
I must confess, my nephews, I mean, we don't have kids of our own, but that's all they always wanted at Christmas was the latest video game.
Yeah.
And we'd always get them one.
Yeah.
Until they started going, what, these games are $50, $75, $100? I don't know if they each get one, what?
Coming out of your allowance, kiddo, but of course, you know, you can take the games away and ground them or whatever, but that those don't work very well. We have to find a way to challenge them, and maybe we can challenge them to use the time to get a foothold in a healthy way of thinking. And so the main concern, I think, one that we want to focus on here would be their use of time, and primarily the use of time to develop the misuse of time to develop and reinforce these counterproductive, we're calling them addictive habits, but you don't even have to go that far. You can just say the things that we do to get out of boredom that are less than healthy. And I do want to raise the issue of these quick response based games that are really that response. Let's put it this way: having a little bit of trouble here putting the words in the right order. But the amygdala we talked about before, that fear center or the fight or flight. A lot of these quick response based games are using no part of the brain except that. Once you've learned what the various buttons do, there's really no contemplation at all going on anymore. It's just quick response, and that's the amygdala. That's really the fight or flight.
That's what's concerning because young people are being trained by this.
Yeah, being trained. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's also the area for addiction. That's the area for anger, and that's the area for anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. So we're just basically learning all these counterproductive emotions and lifestyles. I see a number of young people in various stages of addiction, as we're talking about. Some of it seems pretty innocent. And then I see older people, their lives are just on the rocks because of addictive patterns, counterproductive patterns that were cultivated innocently enough, I think, in their youth, just like games or, you know, amusement. You know, the word amusement, that's a good word, amusing. To be amused is to not think. You know, and so, you know, games and activities that are amusing, they don't require you to really think beyond just a quick response to something. And so young people, I think basically what we're, when we get down to isolating the problem and dealing with it, young people more often than not lack an overall perspective of things. You know, they don't have the you know, the past, present, future perspective that an older adult has. They don't have they can't say this too will pass. You know, we've talked about the escalation in things like suicide and those kinds of things with the use of social media. Because to them, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't live past this. And older people know time passes and these things
young
pass.
This has been a condition of young people forever, but sure. Because of social media, it has been magnified greatly.
Disconnecting from people and not even really connecting with parents anymore. I think in earlier times, if you go back hundreds of years, you know, the family was the locus of the meaning in life, and even though kids had interests outside of that, it was understood and society supported the fact that when you're under your parents' roof, you're listening to them and they're guiding you in life and giving you instruction, and that's isn't the case anymore. Unfortunately, this kind of lack of perspective of things is, I think, probably 2.5 to 3 generations deep now. And so a lot of parents do poorly at modeling this larger perspective.
They didn't do it either.
They get impatient. They get frustrated in life. And I've seen parents that game right along with their kids.
That is a phenomenon that I have watched, too. Dads and their kids playing these games.
And
we're picking on games, but it could be a lot of things.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things. And amusement is not a sin, but we're talking about things that tend to take over the life. And talking about some of the kids that I've talked to lately, whose grades are dipping. And if they don't have, as we talked in the last show, a larger tapestry in life, they're going to be prone to anxiety, depression, anger, fear, all these things that in the games, a lot of times if they're practicing these or doing these games, it just exacerbates.
And I've heard my nephews in my orbit talk about this idea of immersive. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a buzzword on how good a game is or isn't, is how immersive is it.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because you just totally enter the world and the mythology of the game. And you're trapped in there. You can spend 8 hours a day on that or more.
And that's when you're really talking addictive things. You know, so we've the addictive nature of those things. So we've forgotten some virtues, some cardinal virtues. I came across these recently in a book by John Wyker, In Defense of Nature. And he's talking about talks about the pollution in the world, and how that all the pollution, all these ships that we're sending to China full of our junk, the pollution of the world begins with moral pollution and mental pollution, and so we've lost these virtues. There are 7 virtues that people talk about. 3 of them are the first 3 are theological virtues, which are faith, hope, and love, or agape. So Paul, the love chapter of Corinthians, now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So those were what they refer to as theological virtues. That love, by the way, is agape, and it's other-centered, and that is fundamental to getting out of addictive patterns. But is it enough to challenge our young people? So there are 4 others, and these, I think they say that Plato was the first that spoke about these, and then they went through Aristotle, and then finally Thomas Aquinas speaks a lot about these. They go prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and let's just go through them briefly here. Prudence would be the right reason applied to practice, so the correct reason applied to practice. So prudence is rightfully putting things in their order.
Like wisdom.
And you're right. And in fact, wisdom is often, wisdom and prudence are often used almost synonymously, putting things into their right applications. And then justice, and this is one that is completely missing in our politically correct world, constant and permanent determination to give everyone his or her rightful due. Again, other-centered, and it's totally missing in the attitudes of the younger generation.
Or they go overboard to correct wrongs and right certain injustices that they feel, but to the exclusion of many others.
Right. Yeah.
Like, let's work on this people who deal with this 1% of the population. And the other 99%, you know, forget you.
And PC has the mask of being other centered, but it's a very
PC.
Selfish way to look at
very
life.
Identity politics. Yeah. That's a whole other subject.
Very selfish way to look at life. The third one is fortitude or courage. They say, but overcoming fear and remaining steady in the face of obstacles. That is. You know, fear, responses to fear, anger, addictions, distractions are forms of fear. So overcoming anger, addictions, distractions, and other forms of fear in the face of an obstacle. And, you know, when we're faced with an obstacle, how often do we respond by going to an addictive kind of pattern? That is a behavior that we go to instead of going through the obstacle. You know, if you're a young person in school, we're talking about maybe exams or homework, where it's so easy to just grab that Game Boy or that text, you know, start texting instead of going through this. And then finally, temperance, which is referred to as the golden mean or the golden measure. How far do you act out on your desires? John Whitaker's book In Defense of Nature, that the lack of temperance, our indulgence in all of our desires without any temperance has cost all this pollution, beginning with moral pollution and winding up in just pollution.
Yeah, I would say that's, again, a real sign of our times is intemperance.
So these virtues that we have that we've just talked about, beginning with the faith, hope, and love, and I think probably these cardinal virtues, the prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, are all fundamental in Scripture too.
Absolutely.
So it's not like these were thought up.
No, of course not.
You know, apart from Scripture, they're different words, but their Scripture talk speaks about all these, and these virtues would strengthen us against this emotional root ball we've talked about so much. That's associated with addictive patterns and just reckless management of life would be a good way to put a phrase. At least maybe a couple generations that we have here. That root ball would be fear, shame, depression, anxiety, anger. And again, just that reckless management. When we come back from the break, Mark, we're going to finally talk about
the guy who's a mountain climber.
And I think that this will interest young people. And I'm even going to suggest that parents get this National Geographic film.
Okay.
And view it with kids, because this will be something that'll get a hold
eye-opener.
Of kids. So we'll talk about the value of this when we come back.
Okay. And if people are struggling with some of these issues, maybe as a family, maybe you do family counseling. Sometimes you work with teenagers. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. The office is in Kirkland and another office in Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, and this week trying to get to the holidays and the issues that kids face, maybe getting involved in too much addictive behavior. forms of being stuck and unstuck. We kind of talked about that last week, and we've been building up over all these shows for what we're going to finally talk about, the guy who is climbing the rock, climbing... What, where was he climbing, you said, Daniel?
Well, so this is... maybe some people have heard about this guy. He's quite a phenomenon now.
He's a free climber.
He's a free climber, which means he uses no ropes.
He's even more crazy than normal.
just a chalk bag and climbing with...
A chalk bag.
Just light shoes and bare hands. His name is Alec Honnold, I guess is the way you just say that. Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D. I spell that because I'm going to suggest that parents and young people look this guy up if you haven't before. There's actually, if you Google Alec Honnold free climber, you're going to get a lot of YouTube clips, and there's a National Geographic film and documentary. So lots of different things, but
I have a picture of this mountain that he climbed in Yosemite, El Capitan.
El Capitan, yes.
Which is a famous straight-faced mountain.
3,000.
He climbs that with no
with
nothing,
just chalk.
Just him and his chalk.
Yeah. And the thing is, so what we're talking about here is if parents like we have this is for us too. You know, we're talking about it in the context of parents being concerned about their kids. And having kind of losing their motivation, and instead of excelling through school, for example, or excelling through chores at the house, or having a responsible use of time, you see your child or yourself reckless in your management of time, and preferring to go in addictive ways. Could be alcohol, could be pornography. We're talking about kids who tend to get into a lot of gaming and things, and their homework goes by the wayside, and they really don't have a plan in life. A lot of times I'll ask these kids to try to get them to go upstairs in their brain and get away from the amygdala, which, as we said in the earlier part of the show, the amygdala is very active in a lot of these games that they play that don't require any contemplation. These are not strategy games. They're just quick response games. Mm. There's some kind of a strategy, but once you learn the buttons, you're just responding to things very much like you would in an anger situation or an emergency. And that's the amygdala. That's not the prefrontal cortex where your deeper rationing is. So a lot of times I'll challenge the kids, what are you going to be when you graduate? And I might get the shrug of shoulders then. Well, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Or they might say, well, I'm going to be a doctor or an engineer or something. And, where are you going to go to school? And then I might get the shrug of shoulders or what drew you to that field or something. Shrug of shoulders.
My mom.
All these question marks are bad news. And so if kids don't have something that they're going toward. But the difficulty now is challenging these kids because our society is such an instant gratification society. How do we pull our kids? How do we wean our kids off of this way of thinking, or maybe ourselves, and get ourselves plugged into a healthier way of living life? So we have this, he's kind of a aberration. He is an aberration. Mm. There's a lot of people who free climb. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. They're rare, but it's... There's
well,
a group of
well, just even mountain climbing to me is kind of what are you doing?
Especially the extreme mountains, where people say, "Yeah, I could die on this mountain."
Of stuff. Why are you doing it? Because it's there.
Yeah, I like looking at the very morbid pictures of Mount Everest. I mean, even looking at the photographs, and this is something that'll come out in our talk here. For most of us, even looking at the photographs of where these people are. Give us a certain discomfort and fear response.
Mm-hmm. So, but this guy's different.
This guy, he's different. Mm-hmm. And so you want to look up and see the photographs. And again, most people, and in fact, there was a cameraman down in the park with a great big giant lens that was tracking him all the way up. And he couldn't even look into his lens most of the time because it was freaking him out where this person
and
was.
And he's going to die. One wrong step and he's dead.
Yeah. Now here's the interesting thing.
Tether, nothing.
Nothing, yeah, nothing there. And that's what he knows that. So now here's the thing. We'll talk a little bit about this because he said that he doesn't get an adrenaline rush. He doesn't get...
Now, how is that possible?
Yeah,
what's
so we'll break it down here in a bit because... So it's caused a lot of people to want to do a research, and he's even had CAT scans, and he said he didn't want to get into the sausage to find out what he's made of, but he's a lot. He's recently gone through some things, and they wanted to see if his fear triggers were working, if his amygdala was functioning like the rest of ours, because he just seems to have no fear. He said, "I don't get the adrenaline rush." He said, "If I do get adrenaline rush, if I ever got an adrenaline rush, it would mean that something had gone wrong."
Okay.
So basically, we've talked before in some of the shows, but this review for some people, but for others, it's new. Basically, and I do mean basically, the brain is so complex, but the hippocampus can't engage with the amygdala. Now, that's our fear response trigger center, among other things, but that's a good way to think of it. The hippocampus can't engage with the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex, where all of our rationale and reasoning is. It can't engage with both of those at the same time. It has to do one or the other. It can't both fascinated over solving a problem and be afraid of the problem at the same time. Mm. Those are two totally different functions. Mm-hmm. Now, my theory about Alex, this is my Alex theory, is that, and he'd been climbing since early days. I think he was five or six,
I
think.
These kids who climbs the tree, and you go, "Where's Alex?" Well, he's up at the top of that cedar tree over there.
He would actually go out to these climbing walls that they would have in, I guess there was a climbing wall where he was growing up in his...
Many churches have those now, too.
Yeah, and so he would be at these climbing walls for hours, even as a young kid, just working his way to the top. So... Mm-hmm. I think that since his early days, he sees this the wall, this granite wall, as a puzzle. And the narrative of the puzzle, that is, the story that he tells himself or the way that he thinks his way through the puzzle, has been so strongly enforced in his mind that his hippocampus is just enthralled by the puzzle to solve it. And so it can't fear it. Now, that's a pretty extreme way of saying that, because, you know, we say that, you know, my hippocampus, the hippocampus is instrumental in your behavior. And to put it very, very simply, almost offensively simply, if you're a neurologist or something, is that the hippocampus, one of its functions, it builds a couple of vehicles. It builds information transport vehicles, and that's how it goes up into the upper brain, the prefrontal cortex, and it draws on your memories and your experiences and your rationale and your application abilities and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Or it builds emergency response vehicles that run down to your amygdala for the protection of your body and yourself.
Fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. That's very basic, but it can't do both. It's either building the information transport vehicles or the emergency response vehicles. A lot of the games our kids are playing, the hippocampus is just building emergency response vehicles. Okay, as opposed to a chess game or a game where they're building a society or they're building an architectural game or something like that, where they're actually trying to go up into the prefrontal cortex and build something, and the hippocampus is there. So it can't do both of those. Now, if we make a habit of using that amygdala, the amygdala grows in size and the prefrontal cortex is actually shrink. And so the hippocampus that becomes a habitual way of living. Mm. We begin to view everything as
physical,
fight or flight.
Physical
reality here. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if we were to turn that around and reason and think logically, and a lot of times I teach people who are trying to overcome anger, learn to ask yourselves contemplative questions about your behavior. That'll get you up in the prefrontal cortex. If you could imagine a person who had developed those pathways, the information transport pathways, such that's where his brain automatically goes instead of to the amygdala, and now he sees this granite wall as a great big puzzle, and he's analyzing it, climbing, and his brain simply cannot go to the amygdala. There can't. So he's overdeveloped.
Well, in some ways, this sounds like a good thing.
It is a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's preferable. Mm. You know, he's pushing the edge, and of course, if you push the edge, My concern for him is that at some point, if he doesn't, if his rock climbing, as we spoke last week about a greater tapestry, if his rock climbing doesn't fit into some greater tapestry, maybe that could backfire on him. Okay, so suggestions. And I would venture to say about Alex that he probably is a great problem solver and that he probably rarely, if ever, has anger outbursts because those are different parts of the brain. He probably finds response-based games boring because they starve those contemplative areas of the brain. I'm suggesting that parents get this film for your kids, your young kids, so that they can be challenged in this way and say, you know, I'd like to do that sort of thing in my life, but my brain can't do both. I can't continue to disengage the way that I do and develop a life that's productive like that in any special way. So I would suggest for us and for our kids, expand our horizons, heighten our awareness. Look at this film. Kids need to learn to count the cost of their amusement. That is, they're not thinking, and they're not going to be able to count the cost of something unless they see a greater purpose. The Bible speaks of a treasure buried in the field or a pearl of great price. Unless there's something of greater value to us, we're not going to change our behavior. And at first, so develop an interest in study, contemplation, strategy-based games and projects. At first, this is going to be difficult because you'll experience like withdrawal symptoms, mild panic attack, almost like anxiety, hyper sense of urgency and cravings, all because the brain isn't used to behaving responsibly in that way. But you have to build a narrative. That's the thing to do. Build a narrative. See something of greater value and build a narrative that keeps your brain engaged in that way. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot to digest, but
Well, the way out of an addictive behavior, that's, you kind of mapped it out there. Now, you have discussed the amygdala issue in other programs too, and people can find those shows. Where do they get those?
On the podcast, at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And that's also how people get in touch with you.
Yes, they can email me through that website or phone me at 425-778-6169.
And offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. Always interesting stuff with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. The Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.